Now we pick up on some developments from the US and what their relations with Israel. And we're joined on the line by Phyllis Bennis, a well-known personality in the Middle East and across the globe. Phyllis has written and edited 11 books and continues to provide commentary on what's happening in the Middle East. Phyllis, good evening to you and welcome to the program on Radio Islam.
Great to be with you.
The USA is giving Israel $38 billion over 10 years. That's outrageous. Tell us more.
Well, this has been an ongoing debate for about a year between the Obama administration, supporters of Israel in the Israel lobby in the U.S., and the Israeli government. The Israeli government had actually wanted something between $40 and $50 billion over the next 10 years. And keep in mind, this is all military aid. There's no illusion here that this is economic aid, nor should it be. Israel is, of course, the 23rd wealthiest country in the world per capita. So the notion that the United States is giving it any money is obviously problematic in itself. But it's particularly problematic because this aid, in the form of credits to buy warplanes, bombs, bullets, guns, all the instruments of apartheid, colonialism, and occupation that Israel practices, that's what this money goes for. The compromise that was reached in these negotiations was that the current 10-year grant, which was just over $30 billion a year, would be raised to $38 billion. So it comes out to just about $3.8 billion a year of our tax money, and this at a time, of course, when we keep hearing that the United States does not have enough money for jobs, for health care, for rebuilding the infrastructure, for education, for all the things that the poorest parts of our country, particularly among African Americans and other people of color, that there's no money for those things. There is somehow always enough money for war and always enough money for Israel. So it remains a very major point of controversy. This was, in a sense, a kind of evidence of something we've known for a long time, but this was a very dramatic reality, which was to recognize that despite the fact that President Obama had a very contentious relationship with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, they certainly didn't get along personally, but that's quite irrelevant. What's relevant is they did face some serious political disagreements where President Obama publicly condemned Israeli settlements, etc., but never linked those criticisms to any actual consequences. The result was that key strategic leaders in Israel, in the military and in the intelligence community, had come to the conclusion that President Obama was the most pro-Israel president in U.S. history, despite the claims that because of the political criticism of certain Israeli policies that he was anti-Israel. So this was one more piece of evidence of that if anyone needed it.
Now, AIPAC, the largest pro-Israeli lobbying group, praised Mr. Obama for completing the deal and said it would send a strong message of deterrence to Israel's enemies. What actual message does it send to the starving Americans and others struggling to make ends meet in America itself?
Well, it sends a message that continuing the strategic relationship with Israel, which is defined in two ways. One is billions of dollars of military aid every year, and the other is continuing to protect Israel in the United Nations so that it is never held accountable for potential war crimes committed by its officials, political and military officials. Those two things are going to continue. The message that it sends to people in this country is that those things, military and political and economic support, are more important than providing for the basic needs of people in the United States. It's a very unfortunate message. That is an old message in this country. This is something that's been going on for a very long time. There was some thought, I think, in the Netanyahu camp that they should refuse this deal and hope to get a better one with the next president on the theory that either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump would be willing to give even more money to Israel. That may or may not be true, but the amount of money that Israel walks away with from this deal is a staggering amount of money.
People without food and water in Gaza and Palestine as a whole are far more worthy recipients of the aid, don't you think?
Well, if we're talking worthy, we have to start from the beginning and say there should be no aid of any sort to governments. This is military aid goes directly to the Israeli military. It should not, period, full stop. What Gaza needs is not more aid. It certainly does need more aid, but it mainly needs an end to Israeli occupation and colonization and apartheid. That's what will make it possible for people in Gaza to rebuild their lives. The Europeans continue to send lots of aid to Gaza. Little bits are rebuilt, and the Israelis bomb them again. That's not the answer. The answer is to end the occupation.
Absolutely. Does it really matter who wins, Hillary Clinton or Trump, or will the USA always support Israel no matter who the commander-in-chief is?
Well, I think we have to be a little more strategic in how we look at elections here. It matters a great deal who wins elections. I work for a nonprofit organization, and we, by law, are not allowed to endorse candidates when we are speaking in our official capacity. But analytically, I can say that support for Israel is not something that is inevitably going to be static. We saw something in this election for the first time in the primary election in the Democratic Party. Really, for the first time, the question of U.S. aid to Israel and U.S. support for Israel was on the agenda as a real question that had to be resolved. It wasn't taken for granted. That's a first. Now, the decision ultimately was the same. It didn't change. But putting that on the agenda, having the platform committee drafters, the drafting committee of the Democratic Party platform, include noted supporters of Palestinian rights, including Jim Zogby from the Arab American Institute and Cornel West, a noted African-American professor and philosopher, who's been, both of them have been outspoken supporters of Palestinian rights. They were both representing their constituencies on the platform committee, a committee of 15. So that was quite significant. So these things change very slowly, but I think it would be a mistake to assume that this is something that hasn't changed. The discourse on this issue in the United States has changed dramatically. The policy has not yet changed. But even changing the discourse has been a very hard-fought campaign that has taken years, and we are now seeing the real fruits of that effort. Between Clinton and Trump, certainly Hillary Clinton has made very clear that she is even more supportive of Israel than President Obama. Donald Trump has generally said that, although early on in his campaign he said something about being neutral between Israel and the Palestinians. He never repeated that. It's very difficult to know exactly what he stands for because his public statements have changed quite dramatically, sometimes from one day to the next. So it's a little hard to know what he would actually do. What I think is important in recognizing how this election will play out is that it's not only about the candidates. It's also about what parts of society are empowered by their victory. So if Donald Trump were to be elected, that would empower a movement that has arisen in the context of his campaign, which is, and I use this term carefully, it is really a fascist movement, a very dangerous movement in my view, of based on racism, xenophobia, and Islamophobia. It is dangerous for women, dangerous for people of color, and particularly dangerous for Muslims. And if he were to be elected, that movement would believe itself to be empowered by their champion being in the White House. That's a very specific danger, I think, which has less to do with any policy that he personally would support or not support, rather how he has given voice to this very dangerous movement.
Yes, we're going to have to watch and see how it all unfolds. There's always the two ends to everything in this. Phyllis, we always appreciate your time on Radio Islam. Thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thank you. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Phyllis Bennis speaking to us about the latest developments, and also that 38 billion rand of military aid over 10 years to Israel. What's that military aid going to be used for? Is it going to be used to shed, to spill the blood of the Palestinians? So it is in the form of military aid, in buying the best weapons, and we've seen what happened today in terms of the youngster that had a knife with him, but what force, disproportionate force, that was used against him. And that is what has become common in that part of the world. You're now listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam. It's now 5 minutes to 7.